Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's up? Great to be with you here. Another edition of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. It's been a while. I had been in the road out there in Las Vegas for the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, so we thank Crazy Gaby for filling in a couple of days for me. But I am back, and we're going to recap what happened out there in Vegas, because you know what? Tonight, only a two-game slate in the NBA. Not a whole lot of analysis to be done. I'm not a big hockey guy. I don't pretend to be, and I don't want to give you bad advice there. So, great sport to play this evening. But in terms of what this show, next 30 minutes or so, is going to be about, it's going to be more industry talk. One of the things that I was really impressed with was a keynote speech done by the guys over at Eilers Research, and they did an amazing job looking at the daily fantasy sports industry, made some bold predictions, I guess 13 of them for next year, and I'm going to go through those and give you my thoughts on their thoughts, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I'm somebody who's been around this for so long, and I was really impressed with how thorough they were. Sometimes you go into these conferences and you say to yourself, you know what? What are they possibly going to say that is going to keep me interested that I don't know? I mean, I've been living this industry for years, and for them to be able to do that, I mean, that's just amazing to me. I mean, that was not something I came to expect. So really a ton of credit to them in the job they did. You can find that that entire keynote speech, and it's a bunch of slides. I tweeted out a Google Drive document on my Twitter account, so just kind of go through my history, and you can find it from a couple of days ago, and it's well worth it. I mean, if you bleed the industry like I do, you'll love it. If you're slightly interested in daily fantasy from a business perspective, you'll love it. If you play daily fantasy, I still think you'll like it. I mean, it's just really well done. So I love giving credit where credit is due. So I'm going to go through some of that here today on the show and give you my opinions on his opinions. I do want to thank our sponsor, first off, FanDuel. Great seeing those guys this weekend. They were certainly the talk of the conference. I mean, not surprisingly, when their Q4 numbers dropped, blew everybody out of the water. And with Daily Fantasy being the superstar that it was at this conference, not surprising to see an industry leader like FanDuel obviously have a huge presence there. So we thank them for putting their name on the show each and every day. Tonight, you got a nice tournament, even though it's a short slate, $175K guaranteed in their slam. So that'll probably fill by noon today. They are a great sponsor of this show. And if you want to get a little sweat on some NBA basketball tonight, head on over to FanDuel, our great sponsor. Before we get into all that, I do need to obviously thank not only the FSWA for the Fantasy Sports Writers Association, but certainly all of you and anybody who's ever kind of thrown a little bit of support my way for this podcast, as we took down some hardware this weekend, won the Podcast of the Year award, and it was one of those moments where it really felt validation in terms of the job that you do. And I don't need an award to do that, but it still feels really freaking good to know that peers of yours looked at what you did and said this was better than what anybody did this year in that field. Until you kind of experience that, it's a high like no other. And I really want to thank, obviously, everybody who's ever listened to the show, because that's first and foremost number one to kind of get that honor. But, you know, more than myself, it's just huge for the daily fantasy industry in general. I mean, this was the first award that we have ever taken down as an industry, ever. And I think that really speaks volumes in terms of the fact that we've arrived, because I wasn't the only one to pick up hardware. You had Gib Pollard for golf here on Roto Grinders. You had Benny Riccardi of DFS Report on a blog that he did on Roto Grinders win an award. You had Michael Rathburn win for Writer of the Year. We got nominations in a few other spots as well. So, I mean, it was clear that we're not necessarily being overlooked. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to suddenly see a lot of these content categories split between daily fantasy and season long. And honestly, I hope they do, because I think it's probably more fair that way, because it's just two very different types of writing that goes on. And I just want to, again, thank them for recognizing daily fantasy, and it makes it even better when it's you. So years of hard work put in, and thanks again. And hopefully, you know, we can do it again next year. So that was really, really exciting stuff. But all in all, the FSTA really has changed their tune towards daily fantasy. I remember just a couple of years ago, you had Paul Charchian, the president, who's still president, I think does a fine job, come out and say, okay, daily guys, don't F it up for the rest of us. That was his opening remarks during a conference. And I know for a fact that rubbed a ton of people in the daily fantasy space the wrong way, to say, like, are you serious with this? And basically his opening remarks here this year were, daily fantasy sports is the greatest thing that's ever happened to fantasy sports. Think about the, I guess, 180, you could say, from a couple of years ago to today. You kind of sit back and say, I told you so, or we knew it was going to happen. But for it to be said in that manner was really kind of breathtaking. And just so much of the attention, so much of the conference itself was devoted to daily fantasy sports, research about the industry, because that's where all the money is. I mean, it's just, they all know where there's money, it's just going to improve the rest of the industry. It's just going to bring more people to the other aspects of it. And it's such a competitive field. I mean, you look at the elevator pitch. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, but from what I could tell, it seemed like every single pitch that they had was some kind of brand of fantasy game, daily fantasy game. And you sit back and you're like, well, okay. Like, people are trying to innovate in the space. But all in all, it's just kind of to see our meteoric rise within an industry and almost basically take it over in such a short amount of time is kind of amazing. And we do need to make, you know, he also mentioned like the other aspect that we should never over or underestimate in the history of fantasy sports is, I think it was Charlie Wiegert, I think that's his name. He was one of the guys behind some of the court rulings about that we had with Major League Baseball, were saying that they basically own the stats, they own the names, they owned everything. And the fact that we won that that case was so huge for the industry. So let's not, you know, ignore that side of it. But I do want to just thank the FSTA for you know, acknowledging Daly's presence, and I don't think they really had a choice any longer. But the fact that we are where we are, it's just awesome. It's absolutely incredible. But again, today I really want to go through these bold predictions. Again, Adam Krajicek, I think is his name. If I butchered it, I'm sorry, Adam. He works for Eilers Research and put together a really thorough presentation on daily fantasy sports. And he made 13 bold, bullish predictions about the daily fantasy sports industry. So let's kind of go through them, and I'm going to give you my thoughts. So here we go. Number 13 was market size. Entry fees on daily fantasy sports exceed the total amount wagered on sports in all of Nevada by 2016. That seems like an automatic that's going to happen. Now, you got to remember there's one word in there that is very much of importance here, in all of Nevada, not all of the United States. Because the underground market for sports betting is enormous. And I don't necessarily believe daily fantasy is going to eclipse that at any point in time soon. But clearly, in terms of legal sports betting, you know, in the U.S. You can do it in Nevada. There's, you know, a couple of other states you can do, like, parlay cards in. But ultimately, daily fantasy is going to exceed and pass sports betting in Nevada by next year. And I have to say, check mark. I agree. Next, his the following one was FanDuel files for an IPO in early calendar year 16 and predicts entry fees over $2.5 billion for the upcoming year. Deal is oversubscribed and company begins trading on NASDAQ with a valuation of $2 billion plus. It's funny. I remember talking on the podcast about, 6 months ago, 10 months ago maybe, and mentioned that FanDuel could be a $1 billion company, and I got tweets of people like laughing at me. Yeah, they're well on their way. And if FanDuel does roll an IPO out, it's going to be pretty darn exciting, if you ask me, to see how much traction they get. Because everything on paper is going to look like a very desirable business to invest in. I mean, when you look at the growth that they will show, the graphs are going to just be insane. So I definitely think they are. I think that, you know, early calendar year 2016 is probably the timetable. I would be surprised if they could possibly do it before football season this year. Honestly, it does make the most sense. Have one more monster football season. Have a cascade of new and amazing growth numbers from another year of football. And then, boom, offer the IPO. So I think he's right on the money in terms of the timing. The valuation, I think, is very much in line with what you'd come to expect. And yeah, I think that's very, very likely scenario for FanDuel. The regulatory number 12 or 11, regulatory environment improves. He says he expects at least one state where the law is unclear or questionable about legality to allow DFS cash games within the next 12 to 24 months. And I totally agree with this, too, because I think that you look at, like, the five states, Arizona, Iowa, Louisiana, Montana, Washington, that don't allow it. Certainly a lot of those, I know Arizona in particular. I'm not sure about some of the others, but I know a lot of it, or at least Arizona, is very much has to do with tribal gaming in terms of their them wanting to restrict it. And obviously, there's a lot of lobbying that goes on in that front with local lawmakers. But in the grand scheme of things, somebody playing daily fantasy sports has zero impact on whether or not they would go, you know, to a casino, a tribal casino. Zero impact. So I think the pitch can be made to get something like that changed. A lot of people believe Montana is the next one to open it up, but I felt everything is becoming less restrictive than more restrictive. So I think it's very believable to see a state. Iowa, I know, has been pitching, you know, is trying to get something in the legislature here in the next go around to change their law. So I'm with that 100%. I would be surprised if it's more than one state, you know, ends up switching and allowing daily fantasy in the next 12 to 24 months, because there's lost revenue on that front. I mean, if it's a state that has state tax, and most of these do, then they're losing out on their own revenue stream from people who are making money playing fantasy sports. Still have to pay the government. Still got to report your earnings. So that's something that I think should be part of the conversation here. And simply, it just brings a lot of enjoyment to the constituents of people playing in those states. So, again, I think that less restriction makes a lot of sense. This one I thought was a bit interesting. The biggest risk for DFS industry is not regulation, but whether it can attract mass market appeal and avoid becoming too hardcore. Namely, FanDuel, DraftKings running the risk of becoming overrun by algos and quants, which could preclude the industry from penetrating mass market and achieving the revenue projections. Very delicate balance needs to be maintained between grinders and casual players as the industry matures. And that's something that we talk a good bit about. We even discussed it here on the show not that long ago. And, you know, I think it is very important to not ignore the I guess, the ecosystem of daily fantasy sports. And one thing that I just noticed on FanDuel a couple of days ago, I guess it happened at the beginning of the year, the new restrictions on the amount of money that that somebody can play on the site. I know a lot of people don't like that, and I understand that. And let me take that back. I can't say a lot of people because it doesn't affect a lot of people. The people that they do obviously don't like it, but I think that's the first step in terms of trying to help that ecosystem. Before, you were never able to get a 109 game that wasn't Condia or Lucor. Now you can go to the NBA and you can get 109 games from 25 other names. That is a huge difference and one that was much needed in the daily fantasy space. So I thank FanDuel for doing it. Is it the right answer in the grand scheme of things? Maybe not, but it works for now. I mean, if you don't to suddenly have the technology to institute, whether it's a matchup blocker or some sort of coding to prevent what they were doing from happening, it doesn't sound like that's something that you can fix overnight. If you limit the amount of money people can play, it's something that's very trackable. Now, can it cause greater problems? Absolutely, it can. But they needed to do something, because if they ignored it, again, there was no room for growth for new players. So, but all in all, I think the edges I talked about the other day, they are definitely falling. I do believe they'll always exist, and I think they'll become even more prevalent in tournaments than they are in the cash games because of the amount of people who will run high-variant teams that really make no sense and have very little chance of winning. You'll probably see a lot less of that in the 50-50s and head-to-head games. So I think that it's a problem that's going to become more and more prevalent. I don't necessarily see it taking, quote-unquote, the industry down anytime soon, especially with a sport like NFL, where I believe there's certainly an edge between a good player and an average player, but there's just so much liquidity in the number of players that I think it becomes less of an issue. Next bold prediction. After considerable debate, the NFL decides to join decides on a joint investment into both FanDuel and DraftKings rather than exclusive partnership. DFS companies see diminishing returns from sponsoring individual teams and players. That's interesting. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that the NFL could easily choose a horse here. And which one it's going to be, I don't know. Honestly, I kind of almost wonder whether or not FanDuel having having the NBA be part owner of their company would sway the NFL to roll towards DraftKings side of things to say, you know, we don't want to be in bed with a company that the NBA is already in. I don't know if that would be a factor whatsoever. Maybe I'm basically talking out of my ass at this moment. I don't know. But it would seem to me that they might not want to go down that same route and say, hey, we're going to work a deal with DraftKings. And I think the most interesting thing is to see if it will be investment-based, kind of like we saw with the NBA deal. And so I guess my prediction on this would be if they do it, I think it's only going to be one. And if I had to take a guess on which one it was going to be, it would be DraftKings. But even then, I mean, I don't think it would preclude FanDuel from doing individual deals with teams. I think it's just going to be the same similar situation that we've seen with NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball, where, yeah, a league has a deal with FanDuel or DraftKings, but the other company can come in and make individual deals with specific teams on their that's up to their own agenda. In terms of true overall exclusivity within a league and its teams, I would be shocked to see it. But just know this much, the cost to have a deal with the NFL would be enormous, that I almost couldn't see it happening without an equity-based side of it going on. Because it would just, I mean, they can charge whatever they want. And honestly, I don't think DraftKings could afford it right now. Even if they had another monster round of funding, maybe. But I think it would be so much easier to work a deal like FanDuel did with the NFL and or with the NBA with the NFL. But again, saying it and actually it materializing is a totally different thing. But we will see. Next bold prediction. TV ratings for DFS tournaments will begin to soar in the calendar year of 17 and surpass World Series of Poker viewership. new ESPN reality TV series, The Real Men of Daily Fantasy Sports. And also, NBA regular season TV ratings begin to steadily increase and hit new highs in calendar year 18 as DFS helps drive renewed interest. Part two, 100%. I totally agree. That's what I've been saying for so long. It brings your interest back. It makes you spend more money. It makes you watch more games. I totally agree with part two of that. I don't believe that a DFS tournament on ESPN will surpass the World Series of Poker viewership. As great as I think Daily Fantasy is and how much I'd love for it to be on television, I just don't think you can make it as compelling as whole cams for poker tournaments. Now, the overall interest in poker has, you know, dropped dramatically. So the ratings have plummeted a good bit. We had that conversation with Tony Dunst last week on the podcast about that. And I do think that, yeah, you could do some pre-produced kind of daily fantasy shows. The popularity of them, it's going to all fall into the production value, the storylines that come out of it. Obviously, in calendar year 2017, you're looking like 2 years of fantasy football down the road. A FanDuel final could easily pay out $5 to $7 million to first place. That's a compelling number. That's something that, you know, you could easily, you know, obviously add a lot of drama around. But none of this stuff is obviously going to be in real time. Everything's going to have to be produced. But in terms of it passing WSOP viewership, I would be a tad bit surprised if it had that much success. I hope I'm wrong. Bold prediction, next one. Again, these aren't mine. This is Eiler's research. I am just commenting on it. 2013-15 will be remembered as the heyday for DFS from a player's perspective, due largely to overlay opportunities and the gap between grinders and the casual player's skill. And this will not last as the markets become more efficient. That is 100% accurate. Get while the getting's good, because it's not going to be great forever. Not all publicity is good publicity. He says within the next 18 months, the DFS industry will likely face one major PR fiasco. Could range from security data breach, cheating scandal in a major tournament, political attack, payment refusal, sob story, rogue company pushing the legal boundaries, and consumer litigation attack. The ability for the industry to overcome these events will be key in terms of the future growth. And I very much agree that something is going to happen. Hell, this year we went through not data breaches, but site crashes, which was a very, you know, difficult situation for the industry on a couple of weekends this NBA season. Well, I'm not going to be surprised if something happens at some point in time within that it's going to draw controversy. It's just a matter of time whether it's going to happen. For me, the one that I think the FSTA and overall, you know, rogue company pushing the legal boundaries, that's happening today. And it makes me sick. And I can't tell you how much I want to come on this platform and bury specific companies out there for what, in my estimation, are running illegal daily fantasy contests. But I'm not going to do that for really the sole reason of I don't want to give them one iota of press and put them on, because that's what they want. They would love it. They would love for me to mention their site's name on this show, but I'm not going to do that. I refuse to do that. And those companies are already out there, and they really make me sick to my stomach. But what do you do? What can you do about it? Nothing. What are you going to, you're going to say the government, write them a letter? Hey, these guys are running an illegal daily. No, you're not going to do that. So the best thing you can do is just ignore them. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to do that. But hell, you're going to see it this week. You know, you're going to see people running, you know, daily fantasy contests for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks and probably have money attached to it. And you should not be doing that. That's against the law. So you need two games. It's spelled out pretty damn clear in the UIGEA. But just know you're going to see it. And it's unfortunate, and I hope that is not what takes us down. Okay, next. Does big media get involved in DFS? Basically talking about Fox, ESPN, CBS, NBC. They already are involved in DFS. Because let's face it, who makes more money in the daily fantasy industry right now than ESPN? Nobody. There's nobody making more money in this industry than those guys. So the begs the question, does any big media companies decide to operate a DFS site directly or make a major acquisition? It says the two most likely companies are ESPN and Yahoo. It says compelling arguments can be made for or against it in the space, but their prediction, Eilers, is that we will not see either company launch a standalone DFS partnership investment or white label solution in the next 12 months. I'm going to disagree with Eilers here. I think we will see one or both, potentially both of these companies do one or the other here. That's been a whole lot of discussion at this conference was what is ESPN going to do? Are they going to, one thing for sure that ESPN is going to do is they are going to get more content driven in terms of daily fantasy. It's 100%. I mean, I even talked to Matt Berry about it. And I'll tell you the weirdest thing that I encountered this entire week was having somebody you look up to. I hate to use the term idolize because that's a little bit far, but somebody who has really put fantasy sports on the map and does by far the best and most popular podcast in fantasy sports look at you and say, how can I do daily fantasy better on my podcast? And I sit there and like say, what the hell is going on here? But clearly they're going to get into daily fantasy sports. It's going to happen. The content side is super easy because it doesn't cost them anything and they can still get all the advertising. But as I've talked about before, it's hard for a company of that magnitude to talk daily fantasy the right way. Because daily fantasy, in terms of the analysis that you do in it, is so driven on salaries and sites and values that it just vague references to, oh, this guy could be, you know, is a good play, is a solid value play, doesn't always hold true because on one site he may be, on another site his salary could be very, very different. And I think that's the struggle ESPN is going to come with or going to have because they are not, I repeat, they are not going to want to give free press to FanDuel or DraftKings within their content. For us, it's not a big deal. That's their partners of ours. That's what it's all about. We have to do that. And we're glad to do that. That's why we don't have restrictions on this podcast. We don't have restrictions on Grinders Live. You must pretty much do that. Now, the question is, does ESPN just build their own and all their content be funneled towards their own product? I think it's possible, but I think ultimately ESPN's going to find a way to still take the advertising dollars because they have the platforms that these daily fantasy sites want to be on. They want to be on ESPN Radio. They want to be on during these live games. That's what they want to do. So as long as ESPN can continue to get a piece of that pie, I wouldn't be surprised to see them do either of those two. Building their own site, gosh, it would be so hard to do. It would be very difficult to do, even for a company of that magnitude. But rumors swirling, that could be happening. My honest opinion, I think white labeling would be by far the easiest way for them to get into this. I don't know if that's going to happen. I've got no inside sources one way or another. But I promise you, I believe by next football season or this upcoming football season, they're going to have their hands in the space. So I disagree with Eilers on this one. Okay, basically talking about the acquisition of daily fantasy sites, the mergers and acquisitions, a very prevalent theme, he thinks, within the next 1 to 3 years. And he says, possible merger and acquisition scenarios in order of most likely, DraftKings and FanDuel acquire smaller DFS sites. I'm actually going to say no to this because I don't know what more they have to gain by doing it, to be honest with you. Because anybody who is going to be playing on those other sites are already probably going to have FanDuel accounts. So they don't have much to gain by doing that. So in theory, it makes sense that they will. But I'd be surprised to see much of that. DraftKings gets acquired by a third party. FanDuel gets acquired by a third party. Or four, FanDuel and DraftKings merge. I'd be really, really, really surprised to see three or four at this point in time. I think even DraftKings being acquired by a third party, it would be a really, really big third party. So that's why I don't think it's an impossibility of it happening. But I would be shocked at a FanDuel DraftKings merger at any point in time. At least he had it number four on the list. Okay, next. The underlying model for DFS is largely borrowed from online poker world and ripe for innovation, which should lead to new and successful entrants. Both FanDuel and DraftKings should begin to experiment with new revenue models and figuring out ways to monetize a large and growing user base. Also, how to attract more female players. I think that's going to happen. I just don't know if it's going to be looked at here in the next year or so. I mean, they're so focused, especially FanDuel is laser focused in terms of exactly one brand. We're simplified daily fantasy sports. That's it, at the crux of it. I think that obviously the business, you know, you're going to see innovation out there. You just want to see innovation within the legal parameters of daily fantasy sports and the UIGEA. And obviously, you know, somebody's going to get creative and hopefully people come up with good ideas. We've already seen, you know, some different apps. You know, Jeremy of Star Street came out with the Draft app, which is a kind of very simplified, you know, Words with Friends type of fantasy game, which I think is a pretty good model, to be honest with you. But we'll see with this. I mean, I think that it is ripe with innovation. There should be some new entrants. How successful they are, it's a really competitive space. I'm not going to say you can't be successful, but you better be able to you know, come in prepared, potentially take a loss for a long period of time, and the number of people who are willing to do that, even from an investment standpoint, I don't know. We'll see. Next, we will go. DFS begins to gain awareness in Europe as fantasy soccer gains some traction. And I also expect other popular sports outside of the U.S. to gain traction, including cricket, rugby, and Formula One racing. I don't know squadoosh about the international aspect of gaming in fantasy sports. All I know is soccer seems like the obvious choice of a fantasy product to come out there. Even if they, you know, you look at a country like India, who absolutely loves cricket. I mean, it's a huge deal there. I mean, that's basically like football here in America. And I'm sure there's probably some fantasy cricket site out there, but a site like DraftKings, if they were ever to offer something like that, I can't imagine it being offered on their regular site. That would seem strange to me to do something like that. But, you know, people are already talking about WNBA. Is there any way to skirt NASCAR? I mean, there's all these sorts of questions to be talked about here. And I really don't know. I mean, it makes sense for it to go worldwide. I think DraftKings is trying to do that way faster than FanDuel is, obviously with golf and MMA, two games which are looked at across the world with popularity more so than just here in the U.S. So they certainly get the edge in trying to accomplish it. But, you know, no reason to limit yourself to the U.S. at the moment. But I think that eventually it's going to get there. How quickly, I'm not sure. And then last but not least, last one, legalized sports wagering outside of Nevada becomes a reality by calendar year 20 and leads to a new iGaming wave as multiple states begin to offer mobile fantasy wagering. Despite concerns of cannibalization, DFS industry continues to thrive. I totally agree with this one, too. I know a lot of people have felt like, you know, the day that sports betting becomes legal is the end of daily fantasy's popularity. And I totally disagree with that because I think there's a lot to be said for playing other people versus playing a line or playing a spread. It's great to be looking at, I believe I'm smarter than this person over here. You're not playing against a contrived number here. And there is still something to be said for building teams, being that general manager, and let's face it, you bet a sports game, you're watching that game. You play a fantasy sports contest, you are engaged in all the different games because you've got players playing in the Bucks versus the Knicks. You've got players in Sacramento versus the Lakers. You've got Kevin Durant on OKC. So there's more games for you to sweat in terms of, you know, following the action as opposed to, you know, just whatever game you would bet. So I totally agree with that statement. I kind of thought the latter early on in my DFS career, but especially now that the industry has really kind of become its thing and it's becoming, you know, especially by year, calendar year, you know, 2020, that's a long ways away. And that's that many more years for daily fantasy sports to kind of get ingrained into society and the sports fan's mind. So for me, I totally agree with that one. So that's it. That is the Eilers research bold predictions, my thoughts on them as well, and just an amazing job by them. So I want to give Adam a ton of credit. You can find him on Twitter. I'll include him here when I tweet out, you know, the podcast. And it's just something that you should definitely read if you are interested in this industry. But that's going to do it for us today on the show. We will obviously be back tomorrow, and I got good news for you. CBX, he tweeted out that there are 11 consecutive playable NBA days coming up. So I don't know about you. I'm loving the analysis that I get to do on this show for you. Today, not so much, but moving forward, we will continue to do that. Be sure to check us out on Grinders Live. Tonight, we've got a 5:30 hockey show for you. So if you're playing Daily Fantasy Hockey, Boggs Light, Pepsi 7, they will take you through the slate. Sirius XM tonight, you get myself, and I believe Al is on with me. And how about this special guest, Rad Thad Houston? He qualified for the Fantasy Aces final the other day. And I want to know what it's like to be kind of chronicled in this movie, Living the Fantasy, coming up. So he's one of the players that they spotlighted. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. So our Sirius show, you can catch that from 6 to 7 Eastern, both on Sirius XM, Fantasy Sports Radio, and their app as well, which is great. So if you, you know, don't have it, just get the app, and then you can listen on your commute home if you don't have it in the car. Easy way to catch that show each and every day from 6 to 7. I want to thank FanDuel, great sponsor again of this show. Check them out here today all week long, and I'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same place on the podcast. Till then, have yourself a great Tuesday night, and we will see you.